For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From Nashville's WSM Radio, the original home of the Grand Ole Opry, this is a Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Hey, it's Charlie Matos, and in this episode, always great to have our friend Kyle Petty back in Nashville. Kyle played the Opry earlier in the week. He was in town for the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway. And of course, Kyle is one of our colleagues on Circle Television. We will begin our chat with Season 3 of Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty. Enjoy our Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast.
Season 3 is back. Dinner Drive with Kyle Petty is serving up dinner like you've never seen before.
Chicken fried lobster tails.
I don't even know what that means.
The cars keep getting better.
This may be one of the coolest sentimental trucks we've ever had on this show.
And the questions get a little tougher.
After 40 years, was there too much pine tar?
So buckle up and enjoy.
You better be watching.
Watch Dinner Drive, presented by Cheddar's.
But first, watch Coffee, Country, and Cody, because Kyle Petty's right here.
Yeah.
NASCAR great, NBC sports analyst in town, big race weekend in Nashville. You love coming back, don't you?
Oh, I mean, I love coming to Nashville. Mm-hmm. My daughter lives here. Montgomery Lee lives here. Her husband, Randy Montana, a great songwriter, mm-hmm. and has had a bunch of number one hits here recently. So, get to see the grandkids, get to see everybody. So I love coming to Nashville.
So your daughter married a songwriter.
Yes. Oh. Listen, better than a race car driver. Better than a race car driver. Yeah, I definitely think that.
In town for the Ally 400 that Sunday at Nashville Super Speedway. Played the Opry Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Want to get the backstory on the song that you did, an original that you wrote. And, of course, Season 3 of Dinner Drive with Kyle. That premieres next Thursday, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, Circle Television Network.
Well, it was really fun Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And I love the story you told after your first song, because you said, I wrote this just a few weeks ago, so tonight's the first time I've really heard what it sounds like.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy. So you live in a vacuum. You know, I live in North Carolina, and you go to all the races and you do stuff. So the music thing is something I love. I absolutely love and have a passion for. But I play in a vacuum. My wife, Morgan, and my little boys, Overton and Cotton and Devant, they're the only people that ever hear it. It's only on a single guitar. It's only on a single guitar all the time. So when those guys, when they put it all together, man, it was like, oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah.
Whose song is this? Yeah. This is not my song. I've never heard this thing before. It absolutely stunned me, man. It stunned me. And it makes you excited to walk out there, because mm-hmm. you know it's something special.
Does it change how you perform?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely so. Because, listen, I'm proficient at playing the guitar. I'm not a player. I'm a pretender when it comes to playing the guitar. But when you've got that behind you, it's like, oh man, I gotta up my game. Mm. I gotta up my game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like playing. And I've said it before. When you play sports and you do things, if you play against people that are better than you, they make you better.
Yeah.
When you play with people musically that are that good, mm-hmm. it just elevates your game, and you've got to step up. And if you don't, you stand out like a sore thumb, man. And there's no place to hide. And when you're standing in that circle out there at the Opry, there's no place to hide. You're exposed.
You have got to. The visual of this is perfect. So pardon me for the radio audience this morning, but you have got to do the visual of your desk mate on NBC, Brad Daugherty, at 7 feet talking. When you sat down and found your mark for Circle TV this morning, you went through this story, and it was beautiful.
I told him. So when we sat down, you know, we have marks. Dale Jarrett has a mark. Brad Daugherty has a mark. Marty Snyder, and we sat at the desk. And we all, if you really notice it, we all sat, and it's kind of from the bottom of our tie up is over the desk.
Okay.
But when you look at Brad's way down like this, so it's like from Brad's knot up to his shoulders, because Brad's 7 foot tall.
But he's still the same height as
but
you
But he's
got.
The same height as us. He can drop his seat like almost a foot, and he's still the same height. He is so, and here's what people don't know about Brad. Brad Daugherty was the number one draft choice out of North Carolina, played in the NBA for the Cavaliers. Just a phenomenal, I mean, the number one draft choice. That is huge. You were talking draft a minute ago. But the thing is, He grew up around race cars. He helped Robert Presley and those guys. He put he told a story. He showed up at basketball, showed up for to play basketball there. And Dean Smith, and his hands were cut all to pieces. And Dean Smith said, "What happened to your hands, son?" And he said, "Well, you know, I hurt him. I was putting an engine in a race car, and I got him trapped here behind the header, and I cut him and all that stuff." And Dean Smith said, "These hands are worth millions. Let somebody else put an engine in a race car. You don't be doing that anymore.
Hire
you know?
Someone."
Yeah,
to
but
do
Brad knows. Brad knows more about racing, or as much about racing as he does about basketball. That is the fascinating part. He is an incredible individual.
What's interesting too is, speaking of height, you're about 6'2", right?
Yes, yes.
You're really tall for a race car driver.
Well,
right?
Yeah. And nowadays. Now, if you go back. And time, you know, Daryl and my dad and Bobby and Baker and all those guys, they were just big guys because you didn't have power steering.
Yeah.
And you had to leverage. You had to get up on the wheel and turn it. And now, you know, people used to talk about Kel Yarborough being short. You know, he's a little guy. How's that little guy drive a race car? Now it's like, how's that big guy drive a race car? You know what I mean? How's that big guy get in the car? It's switched over. Yeah. So it's a different time.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Kyle Busch and Dinner Drive.
Yeah, listen, Kyle Busch is our first guest. It's Dinner Drive this year, and we're excited. It's presented by Cheddar's Scratch Kitchen, so we've got a new partner in it, and that's good. And they are a partner and a sponsor of Kyle Busch. And Kyle, and I've known Kyle since he came into the sport. It's 16 or 17 years old. So to sit down with him and have that opportunity, he is an incredible race car driver, an incredible individual. I think a lot of times he gets a bad rap of you see his attitude on TV and people talk about it. That's just because he wants to win. Yeah. He wants to be
he's
the best.
A little smug in a post-race interview.
He just wants to win, man. And when you look at it, he's the only guy. My dad's won 200 Cup races, but Kyle Busch has won 200 NASCAR races. When you say the Truck Series and the Xfinity, he's the only guy that's got close to that. Mm. It's a phenomenal thing. And he's won 60 Cup races, which is a phenomenal thing in this day and time. So to sit down with him and talk to him about his son Brexton, to talk to him about his car. He has a foundation for infertility. Mm-hmm. His wife and he struggled to have children, mm-hmm. and they have helped so many other kids mm-hmm. be born and so many other things. So his foundation and what he and what they do together is pretty good. But this was a great episode. I really enjoyed sitting down with him and got to eat those croissants from Cheddar's. So that's always always a plus, man. That's
where you went?
Yeah, we went to Cheddar's. And listen, anytime you get those buttered croissants, man, that's like dessert. Dessert, entree. You just go back and forth. That's it.
You cover so much on Dinner Drive. And what is your favorite part of the conversation? You're talking about people's lives, their careers, the cars. You know, what do you love the most?
So, you know, it's so funny. We start with the car. The car was the piece to me because I want to know what's your sentimental car. It's not what's your baddest car, what's your most favorite car, what's your most expensive. What's a car that's sentimental?
So what is it for Kyle?
Yeah, for me, it's a 1970 Superbird. It's a car that my dad raced. And I was 10 years old. That man had just landed on the moon in 69. So I thought cars were going to fly. And when this thing showed up with that wing on the back and all this stuff, I'm like, yeah, man, they're building flying cars. So you had been to the pinnacle. But, you know, we did Pitbull, and his was a 1976 Ford Pinto was his sentimental car. His mom used to wake him up in the middle of the night when it was hot in Miami. They lived in low-income housing and would roll the windows down and ride him around in Miami, him and his siblings, to keep him cool so they could sleep, so they could go to school the next day. So that was a car that meant something to him. Ric Flair's was a 65 Dodge Dart. Dale Jr.'s was an S10 Ford pickup that his dad made him pay for, that Dale Sr. picked off the lot. And
of course
made him pay
he
for.
Did.
So it was... So that's been
and
cool.
What was Kyle Busch?
Kyle Busch is what he had a couple of cars, but this Ford or this pickup that he and his dad restored, and it had the engine in it. They had put the engine in it out of an old Suburban that they used to tow to the racetrack with, and so it was a throwback to his childhood. You know, that engine like in this pickup took them to millions of races or thousands of races out in Las Vegas and stuff. So that's fun. But I like sitting and talking to people. I tell people, I sit down, I write the questions, and these are questions I want to know. Mm. You might not want to know. You know, you guys may not, you may could care less the questions I ask. But when I ask them a question, it's because I'm curious. How did you get here? How did you become a race car driver? I know how I became a race car driver. My grandfather raced, my father raced, I raced, had a son that raced. So I know how I became a race car driver. But how did you get to that point? Or how did you become a musician? Or when did music enter your, or when did sports and golf enter your life? So, I tell people, at the end of the day, if I had fun, it was a success. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I like it.
I remember talking about Kyle. I remember they were talking to Kurt early on. He was recounting their careers, these brothers, and they talked about how great Kurt was. And Kurt said, well, wait till you see my brother.
That's exactly right. That's great, because that's that sibling competition, man.
Yeah.
And you mentioned working with Brad Daugherty,
yeah.
7 foot tall. You got the opposite of Brad Daugherty on season three, Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy Bogues. And Muggsy was so cool.
Yeah. What was Muggsy's car?
Muggsy had a Mercedes that he had bought for his wife. And it was sentimental because he loved her so much. This was something that he had always aspired to do. You know what I mean? He just wanted to give a gift, and it was something that he gave someone else. Mm. And Muggsy is a phenomenal. I mean, you think about, you know, he's what, 5'5", 5'4", 5'6", right in there. Think about him playing in the NBA. Think about him being a kid playing on a playground and thinking someday, I'm going to be in the NBA.
Wow.
And then you watch the NBA, and there's nobody that looks like you in the NBA. There's nobody out there. But the obstacles and the hurdles that he overcome to be there, his story is a fascinating story because he never thought he couldn't. And that's the one thing that I know you've had a million people sit in this seat with music and everything else. The one thing all of them have in common is they always believed in themselves. They always believed they could. And that's Muggsy Bogues is the epitome of that.
And I just remembered sitting right there years ago, Guy Clark doing The Cape. If you guys, you know that song, The Cape? It's where the kid puts on his cape and
That's
he jumps off the roof and he flies
because he didn't know he couldn't.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's the way almost all that, whether you sit down and talk to Herschel Walker, you know, it doesn't make any difference who you talk to. They believed from the time they were young that this was their destiny. They just had to go out and fulfill it, and they all did. So it's pretty cool.
Well, Kyle Petty's here, Ally 400 weekend in Nashville at Nashville Super Speedway, and this guy's doing the pre-race concert. Charlie, when is it?
About 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, and the race will start at 6.
Yep.
He's a Texan named Parker McCullum, and he is doing great things in country music on WSM Radio and Circle Television.
Shouldn't take this long. Easier said than done, I guess. I'm a little bit harder to love than the rest. Why does this have to be so hard? Doing my best to hold your heart, and I'm never let it go again.
Coffee, country, and Cody.
Hey, I'm Kyle Busch, driver of the number 8 Cheddar's Chevrolet Camaro for Richard Childress Racing. And I want you guys to check me and Kyle Petty out on the next Dinner Drive, only on Circle.
Of all your cars, this is the car I want to ride.
It still runs, baby. Let's go.
Is this valet? They bring your stock car.
I got to have a ride home.
Watch Dinner Drive, presented by Cheddar's.
Kyle Petty is our guest today. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Go ahead and try that in a Cheddar's parking lot near you.
He left me in a parking lot. You notice we came in one car and he left in another car. And the race car only has one seat. He told me he would send somebody back for me.
And NBC coverage this weekend here in Nashville of the Ally 400 at Nashville Super Speedway.
I tell you what, we were in the commercial break. I just want to share all of this conversation. My blood got boiling. Country music excites me, food excites me, but motorcycles really excite me. And Kyle and I have this thing together. Well, tell me about the motorcycle ride that you just finished and all the great things that you continue to do.
So the Kyle Petty Charity Ride Across America, this was our 27th year. We went from Salt Lake to Ely, Nevada, to Tonopah, to Vegas, to Cedar City, Utah, back up to Moab, and then back over to Salt Lake. We raised $1.7 million this year.
Wow.
And this is for Victory Junction?
It's for Victory Junction, and that's the camp that we founded when my oldest son, Adam, was killed in a racing accident in 2000. So it's been 23 years. This is our 20th year of camp. We've raised about $21, $22 million for the charity ride through the 27 years that we've done it. So motorcycles, there's nothing like motorcycles. And that's what I was going to say a minute ago. I almost said it a minute ago when we were talking about what's your sentimental car. And the funny part is, I'm not a car guy. I'm a motorcycle guy. Yeah. I grew up a motorcycle guy. I had been to the top of Mount Everest of cars when I saw that 1970 Superbird. There was never going to be a cooler car in my life. I already knew that. So when you're 10 and you peek out on cars, you got to find some other vehicle. And motorcycles was have continued to be my vehicle of choice. So
what was your first motorcycle?
I was 5.5 years old. Mm. Listen to this. My dad bought me a motorcycle when I was 5.5 years old. It was Yamaha. It was an 80cc bike. I couldn't even touch the ground. I would have it on the kickstand. I would kickstart it, pop it in gear, and stand it up. And then when I would ride, when I would come in, I would cut it off, pull the clutch in, and slow it down, and jump off and run beside of it. Because I couldn't even touch the ground. That's how small I was at the time. I couldn't even touch the ground. I crashed that thing a lot.
If you see Kyle Petty at a gas station, go look at his gas tank, because what's on your gas tank sometimes?
So I have this bad habit of writing lyrics. So and we were talking because your show, I loved your show, but you and your husband talked all the time in those helmets. Y'all talked to each other. I ride a motorcycle so I don't have to talk to anybody. That was the whole point. So
especially your wife.
Yeah, anybody. I like talking to my wife. I will say that. So, but I was so I will sing songs to myself, and you write, you know, and I think anybody that writes and does that, you never stop that creative piece. So, I'll write lyrics on my gas tank, and then when I get to a fuel stop or something, I will take the lyrics and I'll write it down in a little notebook that I carry with me, and I take a gasoline rag and I wipe off the so it's my own personal whiteboard is the tank on my motorcycle. But it's been a lot of fun doing that.
I found it interesting. You raced for 30 years.
Yeah.
But you've been away for 15 years.
Yeah, a long time.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, a long time.
Did you go straight to the booth or to
I went to the booth before I quit racing. I knew my time. I was really in a position where I was going to step out of the sport in 2000, and then Adam's accident happened. So I had to stay another 7 or 8 years to keep the business alive, to keep Petty Enterprises, what it was our company, because it was time to turn it over to Adam, but that day didn't come. So mm-hmm. then I had to fill in that gap. And so during that period of time, I worked for TNT, for Turner. And they did a number of races in the middle of the season. I worked for Speed, which morphed into FS1. And then I ended up in NBC. So yeah, I went straight from basically sitting in a seat to sitting in a booth somewhere talking about the other guys.
How's the King doing these days?
He is great, man. He is 80. He'll be 86 in July. Wow. Still goes to probably 90% of the races. He's coming up this weekend. He's going to spend tomorrow with Montgomery Lee, with my daughter and Sully and Gunner and Tucker, the grandkids over there. So he's going to spend the day with them. But he's still kicking, man. Still, if he doesn't get to go to the racetrack, he gets ornery. When you're 86, it's ornery. You know what I mean?
Do you ever go by the old fairgrounds just to take a look at the old days?
Yeah, man. We rode by the fairgrounds the other day, man. I was like, oh my gosh, man. There's so many memories at the fairgrounds of. Mm-hmm. I saw Webb Pierce sing the national anthem out there, man. When I was a kid, you know what I mean? Marty mm-hmm. Robbins. I mean, so many guys, so many people came out to that place, and that was. But I will say this. I will go on record as saying this till the day I die. When they used to run up here in June and you were down in that hole, that was the hottest place on the planet to be in a race car. Was it Nashville?
There's no breeze whatsoever.
No breeze. Yeah. No breeze. And they hadn't, you know, had all the advertising mm-hmm. boards around it, so there was no breeze that got down.
And
in
we
that
learned
hole.
It through CMA Fest. Oh yeah, and now, you know, it was fanfare.
Yeah. Golly, man. Yeah, well, fanfare. That's what I remember mm-hmm. it as fanfare.
And we joked at the Opry, but it's true. Bob Harmon still owes us both.
Yeah, both of us. Both of us. Man. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly
what
right.
What I want to know is how you stay in such remarkable shape, Kyle.
Well, so my wife Morgan, who runs the charity ride and looks after everything, so I've got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And if you've got a 5-year-old, Overton is my 5-year-old, Cotton is my 3-year-old, Devance my 1-year-old. If you've got kids that young and you're not in shape, man, they're going to leave you behind. They're going to leave you behind.
You're running children.
I'm chasing them, and they are just the greatest kids in the world. I love them to death.
Thank you for coming to see us this morning, getting up early.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. And anytime you want to ride, you just call
me. I'm coming with you.
You need to go on a charity ride with us.
Anytime.
Yes, we need
anytime.
To.
Anytime.
He's not going to talk to you back
for I know.
No.
See?
Put that microphone
only when you get gas.
You come be on the charity ride with me, and we'll call in every morning and do the show.
You got a deal.
That's the deal.
You got a deal.
We'll do that.
You heard it here. Saw it here on WSM Radio, Circle Television, with Kyle Petty in studio on his way to the Ally 400 on NBC.
Coffee, Country, and Cody.
This guy's nothing but trouble, nothing.
WSM.
Thanks for listening to the Coffee, Country, and Cody podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star review. This podcast was produced through the facilities of WSM Radio in Nashville, Tennessee. The hosts of Coffee, Country, and Cody are Bill Cody, Charlie Mattos, and Kelly Sutton. Producer Eric Markham. WSM General Manager and Director of Content and Programming, J. Patrick Tittle. Copyright 2023. Opry Entertainment Group Holdings, LLC.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.